Good morning. Welcome to our 9 a.m. service. And as you can see, we have Pastor John with us today. Thank you very much. He's actually doing double and triple duty. And I'd call your attention to a few of our announcements. Specifically, we're having a blood drive tomorrow at from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. You can make a reservation online, or there's a telephone number that can be called as well. And then secondly, one of the announcements, St. Paul's Christmas tree. Please see that out in the narthex, and if you can purchase gifts for that, that would be greatly appreciated. At this time, I would ask you to stand if you are able for our call to worship. Lift up your eyes, seeking to know your God. Attune your spirit to the one in whom we dwell. God's love surrounds us here today.
God calls us to be the children of light.
We belong to the day when we have faith. We live confidently in the hope of salvation. We seek to be faithful to the best we know.
We want to invest the talents God gives us.
Faithfulness gives us a sense of greater abundance. Doing justice adds to our sense of worth and dignity. We are here to build up one another.
May our worship encourage each of us today.
Let us worship God. If you would remain standing for our opening hymn, Now Thank We All Our God, which is number 102 in the Methodist hymnal, please.
Now thank we, all our God, with heart and hands and voices, good wondrous things hath done, in whom the world rejoices, who from our mother's arms has blessed us on our way. With countless gifts of love, and still is ours today. May this bounteous God, through all our life be near us, with ever joyful hearts, and blessed peace to cheer us. And keep us still in grace, and guide us when perplexed, or free us from all ills in this world for the next.
All praise and thanks to God, the Father, now be given.
Thank you. You may be seated. And if you would join me, please, with the opening prayer printed in your bulletin. Fill us, gracious God, with a sense of your abiding presence. Awaken our spirits to realities unseen. Turn us from dullness of our fear-filled grasping for security, and help us to live with trust in you. Expand among us much mutual regard and encouragement as we will build up community and lead all of us to live in the light. May faith and love dominate all our relationships, as we enter into the joy of serving in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, if you would join us for our prayer hymn, Take My Life and Let It Be, number 399 in the Nephthys Hymnal.
Life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee.
Take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King.
Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from Thee.
Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as Thou shalt choose. Take my will and make it Thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is Thine own. It shall be Thy royal throne. Take my love, my Lord, I pour at Thy feet its treasure store. Take myself and
now, my brothers and sisters, as we come before God, let's bow our heads as we pray. God, our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for this hour of worship, this time of worship together. We thank You, Lord, for the protection and the guidance that You have placed on us and our souls. And Father, we ask You as we gather today in worship that we may glorify and honor Your name. And Father, especially at this time, I pray for those who are sick, those who are suffering, those who cannot be seen by their families due to COVID-19, those many people who are anxious and concerned about this pandemic. And God, we just lift them all up to You, and we ask that Your healing power might be upon them. And as always, O Lord, we pray for our church, our families, those in our community that need to know You as Lord and Savior. Lord, we pray that as an outreach of this church, we may do that. And Father, also we pray for our military, those who are serving on this soil and abroad, those many veterans, Lord, who gave their times and their family, who gave them for us and for our freedom. And also, Lord, we pray for those first responders, those essential workers who keep us safe day in, day out, who put themselves at harm's risk. Father, we are so thankful for You, and we're thankful for Your love and Your care. And now, Lord, we turn to You. We pray the word Your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, Pam and Pastor John. If you would rise with me, please, for the gospel lesson as you're able. There's a change to our gospel lesson that's printed in your bulletin. Today's gospel lesson will be from the letter of Paul to the Colossians, the first chapter, verses 3 to 10, and that can be found on page 188 of your pew Bible if you wish to follow along. In our prayers for you, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. You have heard of this hope before in the word of the truth, the gospel that has come to you. Just as it is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world, so it has been bearing fruit among yourselves from the day you heard it and truly comprehended the grace of God. This you learned from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and he has made known to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him as you bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Now would you bow your heads and will you pray with me? O Lord, my God, my rock, my redeemer, I praise you once again for the opportunity to stand in this, your church, in this, your pulpit, to have read your sacred scriptures, and now to share my testimony. First of all, I'd like to say it's very good to be back home with you here at Faith Community Azenia. It's my pleasure to be here. And so today, as I was thinking about this service, I was thinking about the question of why can't I see God's will for my life? You know, in this scripture from Colossians, Paul is saying this to the church at Colossae. He says this. He says, we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that we could live lives worthy of his calling. And what jumped out to me this week was the knowledge of his will. So sometimes, why can't I see God's will for my life, for your life? Before I go into this, I'd like to just tell you a story. Well, there was a young farmer who was farming his fields. And this young farmer, he was kind of conflicted about what he wanted to do with his life. And on one day, he said, Lord, he said, just reveal it to me. And as he looked up, he saw clouds assembling, forming two letters, the letter P and the letter C. And all of a sudden, he was filled with joy, and he said, I am called to preach Christ. And so he left his farm, he left his friends, he left his family, and he went out and he preached in any church that he can, and it was a disaster. And so a year later, he went back to his farm, and when he showed up at his farm, his friends said, what happened? I thought you were called to preach Christ. And he said, I made a mistake. It was to plant corn. You know, finding God's will isn't always easy, is it? And as we do this, you know, there's some questions that I've considered this past week. Like this first one is, does everything that happens, is it predetermined by God so his will may abound and take place? So it's all just predetermined. We have no choice. Or does God give us the freedom to resist his plan? You know, those of you that are Shakespeare, English people, Shakespeare in his play said this, he said, all the world is a stage, and all men and women are merely players. And he says, they have entrances and exits, and one man in his life can play many parts. So is God planned for our life like a manuscript in a play? I mean, there are several scriptures that would support this. One that jumped out at me was Psalm 139 that goes like this. In the book was written all the days that were formed for me when none of them yet existed.
were written all the days for me when none of them yet existed. Are we merely players in God's plan for us, or does God have something in mind as we seek His will? You know, others suggest that God has a perfect plan for us, a script that we'll follow to choose, but He gives us the grace to reject or pursue it, like that farmer. You know, if God has a perfect plan for the important decisions in our life, but God doesn't give us a script or permits us to stray for it, it brings up some impossibilities for me. You know, when I think about if God's will is totally all predetermined, everything that happens to us, then what about evil? What about the bad things? Are those from God? What about sickness? Are those from God? The real question, though, as I have turned to this scripture this week, is this. What if God, in giving us life, invites us to collaborate in writing our story? I got in graduate school, I was a part of writing a part of a book. And the interesting part of that was there were several different authors for the book that we were writing. But each of us had our own little pieces that we put the book together in, and this we collaborated and this became one book. And I wonder if God has the outline for the story of our lives, but gives us the choice of writing our own story in collaboration with Him. I believe that God's plan for our lives is not so much a manuscript ready, completed, but an idea and an outline that God hopes we will choose and follow. Paul said this he said, I'm praying that you will have the knowledge of God's will. Okay, and this is the good thing here. He says, so that every decision, every encounter, every challenge is the opportunity to collaborate with God in writing our story. And when we collaborate with God, our story becomes one of love, becomes one of faith, becomes one of hope, and becomes one of redemption. It made me think about how many times in my life when I've questioned God's will or God's path for us, that we need to feel to collaborate with Him. Now, I think of God as a heavenly parent. And those of you that are parents, you know that when you're raising your children, you know, you try to impart to them wisdom and good advice. And one of the joys of being a parent is seeing your children grow, but not only just growing physically, but growing knowledge of God's love and God's Spirit. But we know that, you know, sometimes that doesn't happen, or our children sway. And I think God as our heavenly parent is there to kind of lead us, to guide us, and then to bring us back. And I think that when we pursue God's will as God our heavenly parent, I think He smiles. I can't tell you the times where, as a parent, I've been just overwhelmed with joy of things that my kids were doing or accomplishing. And I remember just thinking that, wow, this is amazing. But God is our Heavenly Father. He's got that love for us. And so when we collaborate with Him, when we follow how He leads us, teaches us, and advises us, the Lord smiles on us. And we're given that knowledge of His goodwill. And our encounters and everything glorifies Him. Now, the other thing about God, as we described, why can't I see God's will for my life? Well, I think God's will is kind of prescriptive. So if you think of a prescription, okay, if you're feeling sick, you know, you'll go to the doctor may give you a prescription. You take it to the pharmacy. It's written out. It's meant to make you feel better or to get better. Or if we want to use the example of a financial advisor, if you want to make more money or you want to check assets or prepare for retirement, you go to a financial advisor who gives you advice so that you may grow, that your assets may grow. But God gives us this prescriptive will to find out what He has for us. And He gives it to us not only through the Bible, but through our relationships with one another. It's not solely written, but, you know, it's times like this when we get together, when we worship, when we think about God's Word, when we do Bible study, those times when we gather together, all of God's will comes to us as we discover His will for our lives. Now, if we think about those hallmark things in our teaching of Jesus Christ and Christianity, one of the first prescriptive things of God's will is the Ten Commandments. Probably one of the first things we've ever learned as young Christians, maybe as children. Then we have the command for God to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And then we get that other command, love your neighbor as yourself. You see, those are parts of God's prescriptive will that are guiding and forming us to follow what His will for us is. Now let's go back to Paul with Colossians. He says to that church, maybe he says to us today, he says, we have not stopped praying for you and asking for you to be filled with the knowledge of God's will so that you can live lives worthy of the Lord and pleasing to Him in every way by producing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God. You know, the purpose of knowing God's will, according to Paul, is that we might live lives worthy of the Lord and we might grow in the knowledge of God's will. And if you've had experiences when you've had God shine something into your life or enlighten something to you, you know the joy of that. You know the transforming power of that. And I think that when we do this, that God works and God blesses us. Now, there's another thing I've found about God's will and discerning God's will for our lives is that not only do we get shaped by His Scriptures, by our relationship with Him, by our Christian fellowship, but He asks us also in the process to be and to keep attention to what's going on around us. Because sometimes I don't think we realize how much we impact other people in their lives. You know, I don't call them coincidences anymore. I call them God incidences. God incidences. There are so many times in my life that things have happened that just, I can't explain, but they've shaped the next step of my life. One of the examples was at my private practice, mental health practice, I don't really see people on Saturdays, and so we have the phones that are forwarded to an answering service. And one Saturday, I was there doing some of the book work and the accounting, and like I said, normally when the phone rings, it forwards right to the answering service. And on that particular day, the phone rang, but it kept ringing. It kept ringing. And I looked at it and I thought to myself, that's odd, because it rang before and it went right into the answering service. And so I picked up that phone, and on the other end of the line was a young man who was struggling, who was actively suicidal, and wanted someone to talk, wanted to help him through this. And after I got through with that conversation and getting help to him, I thought to myself, now, is that a coincidence that somehow this phone did that? Or is that a God incidence? And it was. It was God. It was God working through whatever. And the beautiful part about that is I was able to help that young man, and now that young man is doing well and flourishing, and it's just amazing to see how God works in our lives. To bless us, to keep us. How God works in our lives. And so when we make these big decisions and we don't know what God's will is, God gives us these tools to discern the Scriptures and the work of the Holy Spirit. But I have to say one last point today. Many of us have the idea that God's will translate sometimes totally always into happiness. But God's prescriptive will not always be happy The will of God sometimes is not our happiness, but our faithfulness. Our faithfulness. You know, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, you know, there are two paths that you can take, a broad path that leads to death or the narrow path that leads to life. Jesus called us to take the narrow, to tape up our cross and follow him to the end. Maybe at this point in your life, you're having a positive chapter, even in the midst of all that's going on. You know, I know we've had things happen because of COVID, because we couldn't do that, but we still have people getting married or people getting engaged, or we have babies being born. I became a grandfather in late December, and it's pretty amazing, you know, these things, and watching this little guy grow and all those positive things that are going. And yet, maybe this is a time of conflict, of struggle. Maybe it's a time of pain in our lives due to death or divorce or work or maybe this frightening illness. And the thing is, you don't know what the next chapter will hold. But trust God. There will be a next chapter. Amen? There will be a next chapter. You know, the Bible reminds us these difficult chapters are not the final chapters of our life. And when we're passing through those awful chapters and difficult season, sometimes we can't imagine how God will work things out. But when we look back over life, we see how God moves the plot forward, unfolding into the story of God's redemption. And the good news is this, is that God writes a story of triumph. Your story, my story, is not complete. There are chapters to be written. God's plan is not set in stone, and you have a chance to shape the story. And as you do this, this is God's will, that you live lives worthy of the Lord, pleasing to him as you bear fruit in every good work, as you grow in knowledge of God. One of the things of discerning God's will of our lives, and why can't we see? We have to poise ourselves to be ready. We have to poise ourselves to for God as the heavenly parent, with his prescriptive will, to illuminate us those next steps, those next chapters. But remember this today. There always will be a next chapter. I have a little sign I have in my office down in Hamilton, and it's, I just love it. It's a little wooden sign. I keep it on my bookshelf, and it says, "I know not what the future holds, but I know who holds the future." Amen? Amen. I'd like to leave you with a song today about being ready for God to work in your life, for God to work in our community, in our church.
Ready, Lord, I'm ready, Lord, to follow where you lead. Show me, Lord, oh, show me, Lord, the service you will need. Ready, Lord, I'm ready, Lord, I'm ready, come what may. So call me, Lord, just call me, Lord, and I'll be on your way. Feed your lambs, I'll feed your lambs, the first of all with food. Give them drink and comfort them and build their fortitude. Then I'll feed them with the words you fed me with until I'm ready, Lord, yes, ready, Lord, to go and do your will. If today is my final day on earth. Thank you, Lord, oh, thank you, Lord, for life, for breath, for birth. Take my heart and take my hand, my feet, my life, my all. I'm ready, Lord, yes, ready, Lord, to follow till I fall. If this town is gonna be my final resting place, I'm ready, Lord, yes, ready, Lord, to meet you face to face.
Let's bow our heads and pray. God, we pray that we might live lives worthy of your calling, that you might continue to illuminate your will in our lives. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for every day being able to work with you in shaping our lives. And thank you, Lord, for instilling in us the hope of always the next chapter. Lord, we thank you, we bless you, and we praise you. Amen.
And if you would rise, please, for the closing hymn, which is Freely, Freely, number 389.
God forgave my sin in Jesus' name. I've been born again in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name I come to you to share his love as he told me to. He said, freely, freely you have received, freely, freely give. Go in my name, and because you believe, others will know that I live. All the power is given in Jesus' name, in earth and heaven, in Jesus' name, and in Jesus' name I come to you to share his power as he told me to. He said, freely, freely you have received, freely, freely give. Go in my name, and because you believe, others will know that I live.
Now, would you bow your heads as we pray for God's blessing? May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his very face to shine upon each and every one of you. May the Lord Jesus Christ be gracious unto you and give you his peace. And now go forth in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And all God's people gathered here shall say the word, Amen.